All right. Let's go ahead and go over that quiz. If you still have the handout that I passed out a couple weeks ago, you have the answer key. I did not change it at all. 1 Timothy 1. Yeah, that's the gimme, right? 1 Timothy 2. Good, what's J? Yeah, men and women. Good. 1 Timothy 3. A, elders and deacons. 1 Timothy 4.
I,
false and true teaching, good. 1 Timothy 5, that would be me, right? That's your widows and others. 1 Timothy 6, poor and rich, the order, and all of these lists, like something and something, the order implies the order it comes in chapter 2, in case you're unaware. Yeah, age, poor, and rich. 2 Timothy 1, good, don't be afraid or ashamed. 2 Timothy 2. Yeah, those images of ministry, a lot of different images that are given in that chapter. What are those images that are given?
A soldier, a farmer, athlete.
Good, so that's in the first half. And then in the second half, there's an image of service. The vessels, right? Yeah, good.
Honorable.
Yeah, the one of gold and one of earth and clay. Yeah, you have those different vessels. That's good. 2 Timothy 3.
Okay.
Yeah, can y'all remember any of the signs of the perilous times, the things that would happen? Men would be
lovers of themselves,
ungrateful, disobedient. Bad. Yeah, there's 19 of them. I can't think of all 19 of them right off the top of my head. But do you remember in that class we had, like, I had you have like a headline of some sort. You had to come up with a 3-word headline. Do you remember any of
those? All of them.
I remember one. Misplaced love, like all of these they're loving something, but the love is not devoted towards others. The love is not devoted towards God. I thought that was pretty good. 2 Timothy 4.
G.
That'd be whatever's left, right? Yeah, G. Good. Final charge to Timothy. So in this class, we're going to be reviewing. These are the five force goals that we've had. To love Christ with a clean conscience, develop selves as servants of Christ, faithfully discharge duties of leadership and service, address false teaching, face evil with boldness and truth. Now, a goal in a class is something that's difficult to measure. It's not like I am different in this way and everyone can see it because of this, this, and this. There might be a part of that, but it's something that you're thinking internally on, and we're going to look at these a little bit more closely at the end of class. I'll repeat what I was saying earlier while y'all were taking the quiz. If you don't have one of these larger sheets of paper, you're going to need to have that at the end. We're going to be looking at these goals a little bit more intentionally, perhaps, and the directions are on one side of the paper. And we'll be looking at that in a group setting, but trying to think of how we can improve in some of these, but we're going to be looking at one specifically. All right, so we have like these little taglines to go with each of these. Do you remember with love Christ with a clean conscience what was chosen to kind of associate with that? It's like the shorthand of these. So this, it has to do with that, but the inner character that goes with that, right? Can you think of any times when Paul, in speaking with Timothy, address his inner character? Did he talk about that? It's a goal.
Yeah. He told him to remember the things he was taught.
Okay, yeah. And part of the things that have been taught certainly addressed his inner character.
And not to about his youth.
Okay, yeah. Don't let them despise your youth. Yeah. He talks a good bit about in his teaching with other people and correcting and admonishing, a lot of that has to go back with his example, how he would be an example to them. Develop selves as servants of Christ. Do you remember what the shorthand was for that? The theme, I guess.
Development
of ability, right? So there are these things, Timothy, that you're going to need to do. There's charges throughout the entire book. You're going to need to be able to do these things. And in order to do that, you're going to have to assess your talent, assess your ability, and develop these areas. What about number three? Faithfully discharge duties of leadership and service. That's the initiative. Take action. Don't be afraid. Don't be timid in these things. You need to be able to be willing to go out and do these things. Can y'all think of any specific examples of Paul doing this? Charging with Timothy, Timothy, encouraging. I'm sorry.
With Timothy.
Yes, specifically.
The role of the
deacon. Yeah. Right. Yeah. He tells him you need to teach in these ways. And part of doing that is you need elders, right? You need deacons, and here's what you're looking for. And in that way, he's faithfully discharging these leadership roles. He talks about widows and how there are certain times when people are going to be taking care of them, and there's certain times when they're not, when that duty is going to be dished over to the family and things like that. So there were certain actions that he needed to take there. Number four, addressing false teaching has to do with the offensive side, right? And what is that offense that he was intended to take? What did Paul talk about for Timothy?
Well, he talked about he remembered the things he was taught from a young child, and what he had taught him, and he would be bold to speak those things.
Yeah, and the scriptures were good for something. Can y'all remember what the scriptures were good for? They're profitable for
review.
One more.
It's profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for correction, instruction, and righteousness. But he also tells Timothy to reprove, rebuke, and exhort
with
long-suffering.
Right. The profitability of the scriptures was specific, and knowing that and understanding that and using it for the right things could be an offensive measure. And then the last one would be defense, right? Face evil with boldness and truth. Anything in particular he says about that?
Well, he speaks to both first and second Timothy about the fault and silly doctrine.
Sure. Yeah, and you got to be aware of these things. You got to know perilous times are coming. Be ready for these things. Sure, there's an offensive side of it, but in some respects, understand these things that you've been taught and be ready for them. All right, here's what we're going to do. I want everyone to get out a device of some kind, a phone perhaps. We're going to do a little review game that I would do with my middle schoolers, but I think it still applies to adults too. Yeah. What's that?
We're doing Slido.
No, I'm not that. I can't do that. So. We're going to do what's called Kahoot. I've never done Kahoot before. So go to Kahoot.it. Kahoot.it. K-A-H. Good question. K-A-H. O-O-T.
Somebody else?
.it. I'm going to guess .com will take you there, too.
No, let's get you to the main page.
Game pin.
All right. There's a pin. What?
It's on the board.
There you go.
So there's your game pin. Feel free to use your own name if you'd like. If you're embarrassed, you don't have to do that. If you're afraid you're not going to do well, maybe you use the name of the person next to you. Wow, this screen's really small. Y'all might have to move up. Your name?
Mine is asking for a game pin.
So that's these numbers right here. 280-4736.
Young
Timothy.
That's good.
No name.
Is it Monet?
Monet, yeah. Monet. Alright. 19, I'm not going to count everyone. I'll give you 10 more seconds to get in. I don't know who we're waiting on. Oh.
Young Timothy.
Alright. So what it's going to do is going to ask the question. Then you're going to see on your phone a bunch of shapes. The shapes correspond with what's on the screen. It'll make sense once you get started. Don't worry. If middle schoolers can do it, you can do it.
I'm not so sure.
All right. Question number one. In what chapter in Acts did Paul recruit Timothy? In what chapter in Acts did he recruit Timothy? So it corresponds with the shape and color that's on the board.
Not the shape and color.
Do we have to answer it?
You just hit the thing in here. So
I want to know the board.
All right, so so about 5 or 6 people didn't figure it out. That's okay.
I understand. It took me a while to figure out who you're talking
about. All right, so in Acts 16, Timothy is taken. As a bonus, I didn't have it in the question. You remember where Timothy's from?
Lystra.
Lystra, good. All right. There's our leaderboard. Jaden Boone. All right, question number 2. Which is not a qualification of a good servant / workman? 2 Timothy 2. Not a qualification. Ooh, all right. So, yeah, prepared for every good work. Now, you've heard that before, right?
Yeah.
You've heard that phrase before. It's just not in connection with being a servant or workman. He says, unashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's in the discussion of the vessels, right? So in that discussion, he says that a good workman, a good servant, one of the golden vessels, you're going to be doing these things. I mean, prepared for every good work would be a part of that. But as far as the qualifications there, if it goes... Yeah. Elder's Galloway, right? All right. Where does this verse come from? For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? From where does this verse come? For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God?
I'm sorry to keep writing out in advance.
That might be a phone problem. I don't know. So that's 1 Timothy 3. What else is discussed in 1 Timothy 3?
Elders
and deacons.
You're right. On
fire. All right. Which was not an archetype of spiritual service. Not archetype of spiritual service. I used the wording of the teacher.
Yeah.
I
think I'm going to get one right.
Hurry, Cynthia.
You did? I did. All right, very good. It's not a scribe. Not a scribe. You do have the athlete, farmer, and soldier mentioned there. Now, do you remember what the athlete, farmer, and soldier are good for? Like, what connection does he make? What did he say about the soldier?
Endures hardship.
What's that?
Endures hardship.
Okay, endures hardship. What about the farmer?
He has to wait for
patience.
Yeah, there's patience involved there in the athlete.
Condition.
Good. Yeah. In the bottom right, there's a pin. Feel free to open up Kahoot.it and go there. It's got all the information down there. All right. From what book and chapter does this come? And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. All right, very good. 1 Timothy 2. That chapter is about... Okay, yeah. So what's the context here in this verse?
The teaching. About men.
Yeah, okay, about the teaching. Yeah, elaborate on that.
Well, it talks about men being the ones to pray, and then women being silent, and the rationale is... Yeah.
Right, this was the explanation. Good. All right. Which is not a qualification of a widow indeed. a list of things given for the widow indeed. Okay, so left alone, meaning there aren't children and grandchildren. But there, what's interesting about the widow indeed is that there are qualifications of a spiritual nature. They pray, they hope in God. There is this devotion to Him, and the children are the ones who are supposed to take care of Him. All right, the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my shame.
Oh.
Yes, activity one. If you remember the quiz from the beginning, this kind of set you up for that, right? Not being ashamed was in that title that we gave it, right? 2 Timothy chapter 1. Oh, I can't help but notice no elders on the top five. Alright, which is not an I have statement in 2 Timothy 4. I have this, I have this, I have this.
Which is not.
You have to have a good memory. Yeah.
So he says, I have fought the good fight, run the race, I've kept the faith. And then he does say, he's put on the crown of righteousness, right?
It's laid up for me.
This is something that he's looking towards. But what he has done are these three things right here.
Dramatic change.
All right, another verse here. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge them that they teach no other doctrine.
Says I'm a pure genius.
I think there's a question mark here. Yeah, it's 1 Timothy 1. Good. It's the initial charge that he makes for him. Alright, which is not a sign of perilous times. Disobedient to parents, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, lovers of self. Drunkenness is not a sign of perilous time. Yeah, drunkenness. Paul makes a lot of lists in his letters, not just for 2 Timothy, but other letters too. So I went and found another list and one that wasn't on this one. But you can see, again, that misplaced love title that y'all gave to that list of perilous times. You can see how these three fit in that category of misplaced love. Lovers of self, disobedient to parents, most likely because you like to do what you want to do. There's a lover of self involved there. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Good. Sorry, let you see the leaderboard. What warning does Paul give Timothy in 1 Timothy 4? Yeah, apostasy. Their talk will spread like gangrene is in reference to Hymenaeus and Philetus, and men will be lovers of self. That's what we just talked about in 2 Timothy 3. But 1 Timothy 4, which is very similar to 2 Timothy 3, at least in latter days, you know, a time coming, this stuff is going to happen. The apostasy. Do you remember what were some of the things that these people would say.
Marriage and meat.
What's that?
Meat and marriage.
Yeah. There's foods you can't eat, and you're not allowed to get married.
Yeah. And Paul's like, no, don't listen to that.
Where does this come from? Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great
gain. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
Always pick D.
I've heard C.
Is that circle? Maybe it's 1, 2, 3.
I was going for favorite color.
Alright, good. 1 Timothy 6 there. What's the context here? Godliness with contentment is great gain.
Poor and rich.
Yeah, poor and rich, right? You can see how that would fit in with that discussion. Alright. If anyone does not provide for his own, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. What chapter? What book?
Got it.
What else before you?
Good. That's 1 Timothy 5. In the context of?
Widows,
right? Like, so he's talking about widows and who are widows in need. And those who are not widows in need are those with children and grandchildren. Then he turns and says, you had better take care of them, right? So if you're not going to provide for his own, and I skipped a little bit just because they limit me on the number of characters, but yeah, it's worse than an unbeliever. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It all comes back to those titles from the quiz at the beginning. You can connect it to that. You should be able to find it.
What
if you didn't have good. 2 Timothy 3. The best wrong answer would be 1 Timothy 4. It's somewhat similar, yet still wrong. 2 Timothy 2, those are those images of service. Activity 3, you're looking at these, evil men and imposters. Alright, for every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. Good, that's 1 Timothy 4. Remember, they're going to say you shouldn't get married, you can't eat, but he says, well, no, every creature of God is good.
Yeah, that's
nothing
good. Oh, that's from the topic of Rome 4. That makes a big difference.
Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. Right. Yes, that's 2 Timothy chapter 4. This should be fresh on your mind, right?
Probably not.
Apparently not, for some.
Timing is a big thing in
goodness. It does. Name Timothy's mother and grandmother in their respective
words.
Mother, grandmother.
I don't remember.
This is where you make up some bread.
I got it.
Oh, I
didn't
even
have to
answer.
You got 3 seconds.
10 minutes ago.
Eunice. Yeah, right. Hey, no one took the bait on Aquila and Priscilla. That's really good. Really glad.
You remember Lois
is
Ken's grandmother.
Just remember Ken's grandmother, yeah. Plus, grandmother Lois, it just sounds like something you'd read in a book or something like that. There you go. Well done. Three more. Which was not a type of prayer Paul instructed in 1 Timothy 2. Not a type of prayer instructed.
I checked this question.
Look, you didn't bring it up. You didn't bring it up.
I wasn't here.
Lament, right?
About
your intercession and Thanksgiving. Yeah. He'll write a lament after this. There you go. What was Paul's reason for writing 1 Timothy? I write to you so that...
What's his reason?
You will know of perilous times, so that I may see you before long, so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God. Yeah, no, I don't know why they did it so small. Yeah, good. The whole purpose of him writing is, I write to you so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God. Pretty good thesis statement, granted it's shoved in the middle. Look at that, everybody. If we're being honest, the other answers didn't really make sense. Alright. They are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor.
We just talked about it.
Good, 2 Timothy 2. One of the images that's brought up there. You have the three at the beginning, and then these two types of vessels.
46 points behind me.
Yeah. All right, who's our champ? Is it the youngest of the group, too?
Yeah!
There we go.
Kevin!
There we go. All right.
Top
five. So can anyone tell me what is the benefit of doing something like this? Of having like a facts and details, recalling where certain verses are, things like that. Why do we do stuff like this?
It'll help us remember where things are in case we're in a conversation. We may not know the verse, but we can go to the chapter.
Yeah, so I think it helps us in making conversation or continuing conversation if we're speaking with someone who perhaps doesn't know the Bible as well, or maybe they do, and you're trying to direct them somewhere. It's useful to know for sure. What else?
I was at a breakfast with three younger women, and I started reading the perilous times list, and they, you know, it scared them.
Yeah.
They said, this is the time.
Right. Yeah. But what is understanding that, well, that is 2 Timothy 3. I know exactly where that is. What benefit does that serve?
Well, I said, I remembered who it was and
right.
I started reading.
Yeah, you could easily go right.
They jumped. They're the ones that jumped in and said, we have perilous times.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, understanding these facts and details and building our memory in that has a lot of use.
Build street cred.
What's that?
They build street cred.
Yeah, if you're out for street cred, you can certainly get that. But, I mean, it does build some sort of credibility of this is something that I know well. If anything, you're showing that the scriptures are important and you are trying to understand them better. And part of that understanding is the facts and details level, right? That's certainly important.
There's a lot of, with a lot of perilous times discussion, you know, everyone's talking about how bad it is and how bad it is. You can start quoting scripture and maybe lead them into a spiritual discussion.
Right, yeah. And I can't help but think that some of those perilous times were because they didn't know scripture quite as well, right? And so maybe that can contribute to it. But there is the other side of review, in addition to facts and details. It's being able to come back to these goals and start thinking of, well, how can I actually improve my life based on these facts and details that I know, based on what we've read. So, what I have here is a sheet of paper. If you do not have one of these, please raise your hand. I have extras. I can pass them down. What you'll find on one side is, well, the directions, so that's useful. But what I want you doing is picking one of these course goals, the one in which you feel as though you need to improve upon the most. And then I have some questions that would go along with that. For example, if you're choosing number one, love with a clear conscience, well, I want you to think about that a little bit. List one or two major challenges, and there's a long list of those, that you face as a result of error and or evil in the people who have influence over you. So there's people who have influence over you. How can you develop that love with a clear conscience based on addressing these major challenges? So, and then there are questions that go along with that. So I can open it up to group work, and that if you want to be able to speak with the person next to you about these things, I invite you to do so. However, this is a personal thing as well, so if you prefer to just kind of look at it on your own, but if maybe the person next to you is saying the same thing, that can promote a little bit of discussion there. We are going to talk about it as a group in a few minutes, but I do want you to go ahead and take some time answering through these questions. Again, choose one goal that you feel as though you need to improve upon the most. All right, feel free to keep writing if you have something going. I wanted to look at the last question of all of these. The last question is, what steps can we take? I mean, measurable things, things that we can actually physically do differently, the actions that we can start repeating, actions that we can keep out of our lives, people we can be around, people we shouldn't. Like, what are some measurable things that we can do? So let's look at that first one. Everyone, go ahead and look at that first theme. Love with a clean conscience. So again, assuming this is what you chose, there's some sort of temptation, persecution, financial hardship, emotional stress that perhaps is a major challenge for you right now. What do you think, and if this is what you chose, feel free to share what you chose, but even if it isn't, what do you think is something that people could do to address these issues in the coming week? Measurable things that they could do differently. Why would you say that?
Because you're focusing on God. God's going to help you with the temptation, whatever hardship or whatever. You can have a mental release from that if you take it to God.
Right, absolutely. I think prayer is something that we can organize in our lives more regularly, setting aside time to do that. Even if it feels forced or non-organic at the beginning, let's just do it and be able to produce that habit, develop that habit. That would be good. Anything else?
And I think balancing a prayer on a week with the reading of the scripture.
Sure.
But I mean, and you can go only one way. Either I only pray a lot, or I read a lot, and then there is that balance.
Right. Yes, and there needs to be a combination of the two. And I would like to add that it's just service towards others as well. Oftentimes, if it's specific temptations, usually I find myself struggling with specific temptations when I'm either by myself or I'm around people at work. Well, I guess that now that would be you. but it would be, I would be surrounding myself with people perhaps I shouldn't be. And so maybe you then shift your focus to some sort of service towards somebody else. Because again, in all of those instances, whether you're praying, studying, or serving, you are not a lover of self in those instances. You are moving more towards being a lover
of God. If you're tempted by something, find somebody that you know that you can trust, that you can, when you're tempted, call a person, right? Talk to them.
And even when you're not tempted to maybe have a daily or weekly conversation with that particular person. Just so it is now regular, the relationship is there, and you know it's a constant that you can keep coming back to. I think having that would be good. What about number two, develop ourselves? What are we able to do, some sort of measurable action, to improve our performance in a charge that we have been given? And that charge could be wife, teacher, son, member, gospel sharer, older brother, whatever that might be. What are some things that we can do better to improve in that?
Volunteer to be a co-teacher with somebody.
Okay, volunteer to be a co-teacher. I think we have some people who have been developed in that recently. That's good. Yes, ma'am.
Providing support for those that, you know, are struggling. Like, just being there for them, being their person that you can rely on. Basically, going back to what you were saying, mm-hmm. like, being the opposite of that.
Yeah, rather than being the receiver, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, how would you do that, though? Like, what would that look like to be there for someone? Because I think that's a phrase that we hear a lot, but maybe we don't actually know what the action is there.
It could be as simple as sending a text message and saying, hey, how are you? Or a phone call, or, hey, let's meet up, you know, sending scripture to somebody.
Right.
Just as simple as that.
And y'all see how that could be you fulfilling your duty as a member better? Mm-hmm. How that could be fulfilling your duty as a gospel sharer better? Like, doing that too. That's what
sometimes it's just listening. Job's friends didn't mess up on this. It's messed up when they opened the sacrament.
Sure. Yeah. And I can't help but think if there are more people willing to listen than that, maybe that would alleviate some of the perilous times.
This is probably a specific action for all the first three, but I think asking questions is something you can count the number of questions you ask every day, especially the people who know more than you do, who are examples for you. Are you using that resource, learning from them, or are you just sort of coasting on what you already know or what you think you know anyway?
Yeah, and perhaps when we get this idea of we are trying to develop other people, well, then that means we have all the answers for those people. And wisdom seems to be more associated with asking questions of people who are smarter, wiser than you. Like, you are trying to develop that. You're trying to get that information. And so maybe even in your counsel to somebody else, it's you asking questions and trying to understand it.
I think with this question in particular, I know Christine and I struggle with just managing your time to actually dedicate to say, I'm going to do X, Y, Z. I'm going to study this so I can teach someone else, or I'm going to schedule this dinner or lunch with somebody, whatever it is,
right.
Just managing your time throughout.
Yeah, and that goes back to, like, again, if we wait to be tempted to call somebody, maybe that'll work. If you're like me, it works less than it does. But if you already schedule that time and had it built in, you're much more likely to actually use it because it becomes, on the schedule, it becomes more of a constant. Let's look at number three. Discharge of duty, service, leadership. What can we do to implement this plan? We kind of already talked about that a little bit. Let's go to number four, addressing false teaching. So I have D, what can you do next week to begin to implement this plan? And then question E, how can you apply this plan to the way that you recognize evil or the way that you address false teaching? What are some things that we can do?
All of the ammunition to read scripture later.
Yeah.
This is just half of chapter.
Yep. Yeah, I think getting into a routine of doing that and maybe even... maybe even quizzing yourself at times, or maybe doing your lesson a little bit more diligently, not just on the ride to church, and taking notes in class, even though they're not it's not like a mandatory thing. Those type of things just kind of build up that. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say that in the letters, Paul is urging Timothy not just to be prepared, but to actually go out and fight it.
Right.
Right. These questions seem to be about preparing for it. But there's also a point at which you have to say, okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to start reading some things that I know are not true so that I can practice answering these objections. I'm going to go talk to somebody that I know disagrees with me and see how the conversation goes. Obviously, that's a more advanced skill than these questions talk about. But I think it's part of what Paul's encouraging Timothy to do.
Yeah, I think that would go towards the facing evil and how to address evil part. But I think that's certainly part of it. Thank you. New classes, look at the schedule of what's coming up. Maybe bring a notepad and take some notes.
Oh, you do have a new class. Thank you. You did a good job.
Thank
yep.
you.
Daniel was the only one taking notes.